Welcome to The Spiritual Rabbit Hole, a podcast with spiritual mediums, Kristen, Nicole, and Glenda.
Join us as we tap into the spiritual realm, explore the mysteries of the universe, and guide you on a journey of self-discovery.
Get ready to open your mind and connect with something greater than yourself. Let's dive into The Spiritual Rabbit Hole.
Hello and welcome. Today's episode, we are going to take you on a journey through time. We're going to explore the amazing world of psychics and their impact on cultures. Mm-hmm. From ancient prophets and seers to modern day psychics and mediums, we are going to be talking about the rich history of mysticism and how it's captivated societies throughout history. So stay tuned for this brief yet enlightening exploration of the mystical realm. And here's the thing too. A lot of people think that psychic and mediumship has started not until the 19th century, but in actuality, it began very, very, very long ago. It was just called Yes. something else and was practiced in a different way.
Yes, that is true. I mean, they talk about, well, they don't call them psychics, but prophets, similar to me, right? They're speaking yeah, right. with spirit. So prophets are respected people chosen by the divine to guide humanity with morals, insights, warnings, and predictions. They act as messengers between the divine and people, sharing important information and providing guidance. And again, usually that comes up in biblical texts,
right?
The word yes. prophet.
Yes, like both Abraham and Isaiah are recognized as prophetic figures, with their stories and messages playing cultural roles in shaping prophetic traditions of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam.
Yeah. In lots of different religious texts, prophets hold a significant role, with their messages being a recurring theme. They are essential in delivering law and conveying prophetic messages, contributing to their respective religions' moral and spiritual fabric. Prophets like Moses, John the Baptist, Adam, Noah, and Muhammad are noteworthy in Judaism, in Christianity's New Testament, and Islam. Across different cultures, prophets have a crucial role in upholding their religion's moral and spiritual fabric.
So here's something I've been wondering.
Yeah.
And if you guys think this is too controversial, we can keep this up. When did it change? Like back then, it was okay for people to speak with spirit. Basically. And then it changed.
Well, I think back then what they're referring to is prophetic messages that support religion.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Not your own relationship.
Right.
Although arguably Jesus was saying that in some of those texts left out of the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but key part left of out. What you just said.
Yeah. Like the gospel according to Thomas. The gospel according to Philip and Mary Magdalene's gospel. So I was saying that the gospels of Thomas, Philip, and Mary Magdalene all talk, they're more Gnostic. So those three gospels are more Gnostic, and they're about your own relationship with God or source and how you reach that from within. And it's within you, but those were left out.
Yes, because everything in the Bible is always... Not always, but it's been taken out for years.
Very
edited. Yeah.
Filtered and edited to whoever is, you know, benefit that is editing it to gain that support for their religion or their
control the masses. I don't want to say control the masses.
Okay, you can go there. Control the
masses.
It
was the people in power at the time, and it was how they could keep order, and it kind of kept males at the top.
Yeah.
Right.
Because patriarchal.
Mary Magdalene had a gospel and it dates back to like the second century and it was supposed to be burned and it wasn't.
Yeah. We need to actually do, because she's been coming up a lot for me lately.
Same. Mary
Magdalene. Mm-hmm. We need to do an episode. Maybe that'll be like a bonus episode.
Yeah. She's the apostle to the apostles. And I think the Pope finally came out. Mm. I don't remember when, years ago, saying, you know, she was so more important than how she was originally painted, you know?
Yep.
So I don't know how we got on this.
A rabbit hole.
Yeah.
You were asking about how do prophets, when did things change?
When was it not okay to get messages?
Right.
Yeah.
It's, if you think about it, the Catholic Church still has mystics,
mm-hmm. which some do sections, exactly, sectors or whatever you would call it,
which do exactly what we do, except mm-hmm. for the communication they receive supports the agenda of the church. But, you know, that's right. Not saying that all churches are bad or the church overall is bad.
Definitely some positives to church. There is some people, that's their only connection to spirituality. Yeah. You know, it's a community thing. They have community outreach. They pray together. Mm-hmm. You know, those are all positive things, but there's just some dirt in the water to say. I don't know if that's the right thing to say. So there is some positives to it, but there are some drawbacks, I feel.
I don't regret my time with the church.
No, I think
a lot. So
it can be a very positive experience, but sometimes not always.
True. So another term that was used in ancient times that described people similar to psychics and mediums was mm-hmm. seers, but also oracles. Mm. So throughout history, seers, oracles, and visionaries have fascinated cultures with their ability to perceive hidden truths and act as intermediaries between the mortal and the divine realms. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the Oracle of Delphi, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people believe the priestess of the Temple of Apollo at Delphi was a powerful oracle in ancient Greece. Mm-hmm. People would seek out guidance, and a crucial aspect of Greek religious practices came from the Oracle of Delphi. Her role as an oracle involved entering like this trance-like state, possibly induced by the vapors that would rise from the cracks in the earth at this temple, and she would deliver prophetic messages. It's really fascinating.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, and still a lot of people go and visit the ruins of this place. So it's really interesting.
Who was the one that had three ladies and only could hold an eye? Wasn't that an oracle? What character was that?
Was that in...
This was the one...
Oh my gosh, I can't remember it. The three witches that had one eye?
Yes. What story was... Was that Greek?
Oh, like I think I know what you're talking about. On the tip of
my brain.
I was just watching that a week ago. My goodness. You know, the dad was Aquaman. No, not Aquaman. Dealing with water. Didn't he go through that?
Poseidon.
I'm not sure.
And I love Greek mythology.
It's the Temple of Apollo. Yeah, Temple.
Another seer is Odin from Norse mythology. And Odin is the father of Thor. Not mistaken, the chief deity in Norse mythology, and he exhibited seer-like qualities. He sacrificed one of his eyes in exchange for profound wisdom and insight into the future. This act symbolizes Odin's commitment to gaining knowledge beyond the ordinary, making him a figure associated with foresight and the ability to perceive hidden truths. Odin's wisdom was crucial in guiding the destiny of gods and mortals. So I'm going to plug the deck again for the 100th time. The Kyle Gray deck. I don't know where it is right now. I guess I don't need to pull it out because you can't see what I'm doing. But I get the Odin card often. And it's always associated with, you know, psychic insights, third eye. Mm-hmm. So
another seer oracle would be Celtic Druids. They're revered as seers in Celtic societies. Their spiritual wisdom and connection to natural world mark them as esteemed figures with ability to perceive hidden truth. These druids engage in divination practices such as interpreting the flight of birds, observing natural phenomenon. I just need to say that.
Do 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 do.
Okay, and possibly engaging in rituals to gain insights into the future. Their role as seers extended to providing guidance with governance, warfare, and individual destiny.
Yeah, so in summary, the Oracle of Delphi, the high priestess was known as Pythia or Pythia, I forget how you pronounce it. Mm-hmm. Odin in Norse mythology and the Celtic Druids were all esteemed for their roles as seers and oracles. And whether it was from inhaling vapors at the sanctuary of mm-hmm. Delphi, mm-hmm. sacrificing an eye for wisdom, or communing with nature, these figures were integral to their respective cultures spiritual and decision-making aspects. So it's really fascinating to see all this through history and through ancient times in that way.
So I want to add that some of these, I don't know what to call them, people, seers, a lot of people call them like mythical archetypes, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why they have them on cards, for us to gain, you know, guidance from their energy and their archetype, right? Odin is considered an archetype. Like when What's-His-Name pulls his cards, he says, mm-hmm. your archetype is blah, blah, blah. And it would be a mythical god or somebody like Odin or Greek god or whatever. So I was trying to fill it, bridge why
archetype
we have,
is really
have them
just
in cards.
But archetype is just like an example of something, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's archetype of what they represent is what you're trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Because sometimes as psychics, we will see them in a meditation, right? Or in a card, or they'll pop up. So,
right. So you're talking about how these ancient oracles and seers and some even prophets are used in oracle cards or angel cards, mm-hmm. as symbols of certain aspects of spirituality. And when we pull those cards, it's a representation of what they stood for.
Right.
Like what you were saying, when you pull the Odin card, he represents connecting with the third eye, with higher sight in that sense, right?
Yeah. And then when you meditate, sometimes you'll see them in meditation and spirits coming through as them, because you need to, like you said, get their guidance, learn some kind of lesson from them. And so in many societies, seers are vital in providing guidance and predicting the future. And again, that can be us pulling oracle cards and seeing them in readings too.
Yeah.
People sought their abilities for decision-making, seeing insights into matters ranging from personal affairs to political and military strategies. The significance of seers underscores humanity's lasting fascination with the mystical and unknown.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
Divination involves seeking answers from the supernatural through interpreting signs, symbols, or messages to gain insight into the future or receive guidance from the divine.
Right.
Which we use now.
Yes.
Yes.
But it was often a practice that was seen as its own thing and not called psychic way back in the day, right?
Yeah. Because we always wonder that how did it come into being a negative thing where they use it all the time back then?
I think
that was
honestly,
because go ahead.
People who practice this, you know, mm-hmm. seers, oracles, diviners, whatever they're called, mm-hmm. were blamed for a lot of choices that the higher ups made, right?
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, like if somebody says, ooh, like if say it's an oracle, a crow has come through, this means that there needs to be a big change in a positive direction. A king might translate that into, ooh, that means I have to go at war and conquer a nation.
Yeah.
Right.
Versus it being like, hey, let's make things more positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they kill
let's
the oracle.
Let's feed the starving people in the village.
Right. And then they end up killing the oracle because the king blames the oracle for the bad decision when he isn't able to conquer this other nation or whatever it is. But yeah, that's what I think. But there's lots of different methods of divination throughout various cultures. And divination practices involve seeking guidance in lots of different ways. The Chinese I Ching, the Roman Cymbeline oracles, I'm probably saying that wrong, and oracle bones in ancient China also all served as mediums for divination and connecting individuals to the divine or spiritual realm, offering insights into the uncertainties of life. And, you know, we've talked about this in a previous episode. There's also runes, among other things, lots of different tools that are used throughout time to help kind of tell the future or give guidance. And we're just touching base on a couple of them.
The Chinese I Ching, also known as the Book of Changes, is a classic text used for divination. It involves casting yarrow stalks or coins to create hexagrams, each representing a specific combination of yin and yang, which yin and yang is balance, right? Masculine, feminine. Balance. Mm-hmm. These hexagrams are then interpreted to provide guidance on various aspects of life. Following the principles of I Ching, practitioners were considered mediators between the earthly and spiritual realms, seeking insights into the cosmic order and the flow of energy.
Another diviners would be oracle bones. These were used in ancient China for divination's ritual during the Shang Dynasty. These were inscribed with questions about future events or issues faced with the ruling elite. The divination's process involved heating the bones until they crack, and the diviners interpret the patterns formed. The answer provided by the cracks on the bones were believed to be messages from ancestors or supernatural forces guiding decision-making in warfare, agriculture, and governance.
Yeah. So it's really interesting because then there's other cultures that actually will use bones. They'll throw them, mm-hmm. like similar to how they do in I Ching with the coins.
Yeah.
And the way that the bones lay, and similar to runes, right? Mm-hmm. The way that the stones would lay and the symbols that were shown or the direction they were in would determine the message that's coming through. So divination holds great cultural significance as it can influence decision making and offer spiritual guidance. Divination rituals often include specific ceremonial practices such as casting lots, interpreting natural phenomenon, or utilizing sacred texts. And these practices reflect a profound role of the supernatural in shaping human destiny. So it's really fascinating because this is throughout our history mm-hmm. that people have been seeking out guidance from the other side. They were seeking out messages coming from some supernatural source, and yeah. they didn't really understand what it was.
Hey, look just like us.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe,
yeah,
maybe they actually had a better understanding in ancient times about what we connect to today.
Yeah.
But through governments, through cultures, through religious, you know, different practices have shifted and changed. Whoever's in control really controls the aspect of a society, right? So some of this stuff gets filtered through.
Yeah,
I think they used to be a lot more in tune with spirituality a long time ago. I think it kind of happened slowly as alchemy kind of turned into science. Yeah. And it was like we went totally into science, but we kind of forgot that science is, you know, you can intertwine science and spirituality. They can go mm-hmm. together. It's the natural world, right? Everything's made of energy. Everything's made of spirit. We can't forget that side. Mm-hmm. And I think that I'm hoping that we start to kind of curve back to let's combine our science with spirituality, and that will propel us forward.
And I also think, yeah. And I think that that includes, I think the biggest part about spirituality, or maybe one of the biggest influencers of spirituality, is nature.
Right.
And I think,
because that's what alchemy started as, right? They were trying right. to understand the spirituality behind nature, things in nature.
Right.
Yeah.
And our medicine originated with using nature for healing.
Yes.
And over time has shifted to whoever was in power and more. But that's a different podcast.
Yeah, it is. but it's true. It's like we kind of took that side out and just went purely science.
Yeah. And I think it has a lot to do with power.
That
right?
too.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have access to nature. Not everybody has access to medicines. Nature tends to be free.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Medicine
is not free.
Yeah.
You know, so to learn how to work with nature, I think, is a big part of spirituality that has been kind of severed over the centuries. So as to... Oh, see, I'm trying to be gentle here, right? We as humanity have been separated from our source and made to believe that there needs to be a middle person or an external factor involved in our personal growth, healing, and well-being.
Right.
And by separating us and making us believe that we don't have that personal connection, we've given up our power.
Right.
As individuals, as humans, over our own lives. And part of that is us being taught and led to believe we don't have a connection with the spiritual. We don't have a connection with nature. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it's...
Or our bodies, that we can't heal our own bodies,
yeah,
which I right. firmly believe that we can. You know, it's hard, but you can do it.
Yeah. And a big part of it is that we have to unlearn a lot of what we've always been told our entire lives.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, getting back on topic...
And we're not saying that there's no place for modern science or modern yeah. medicine. It's not it's needed, but you can do it. Could be secondary to certain mm-hmm. things, or it can be used in conjunction, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So obviously we have already talked about psychics a lot on this podcast. Mm-hmm. But obviously we are psychics. And psychic abilities refer to telepathy, clairvoyance, clairaudience, claircognizance, clairsentience, and precognition. And they are all our extrasensory connection with precognition and and precognition, and it's all part of our extrasensory senses, and those connect us with energy and things beyond a normal human perception. I don't want to say normal because I feel like psychic abilities really are also normal, but not everybody.
We're trying to make them normal.
Yeah, we're trying to make them normal. But not everybody uses them very much. You know, some people use them more than others, or don't realize they're using them.
Everyone has access to it, is my understanding. But it's not normalized, and that's what our goal is. One of our goals here in this podcast is for us to make it normal and make people recognize, hey, we all can tap into this. We all have different levels of it, and depends on how much we nurture it. Just like any skill or ability, it's really how much you nurture it that helps you have a more developed sense.
Right.
And you can learn about that in our other podcast.
Yes. Go back and listen. So, yes, going on that. There are some famous psychics, obviously, through history. Nostradamus and Edgar Cayce are pretty famous ones, known for their psychic abilities. I know Nostradamus had a lot of predictions into the future, like way into the future. Also Edgar Cayce, but he had a lot of, he had some predictions, but he also had some, like, he was the one that talked a lot about, castor oil. I think he brought that back. Because that was something he had in a vision, if I remember correctly. I don't know why I remembered that. Yeah. But he would get those kind of things too. Like castor oil is very healing. You know, it's called the palm of Christ for a reason. It's a healing oil. but Edgar Cayce was known as the sleeping prophet. So he would get his insights when he would be like in a trance-like state, meditative state. And he conducted health readings, which is probably where the castor oil came from, and diagnosed ailments and prescribed treatments, often with reported success. Additionally, he provided prophetic readings, offering insights into future events and personal destinies.
So you have probably heard about Nostradamus. He's a 16th century astrologer and physician. He was renowned for his prophetic writing, especially his book. Nostradamus claimed to be able to see the future through visions and astrological insights. His book was written in cryptic language and was interpreted by many predictions of future events. Nostradamus' psychic reputation lies in his alleged ability to foresee significant history events, leading to continued fascination and debate over the accuracy of his prophecy.
Yeah,
so he was really on top of it, especially the 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
He said something about how he's seen metal birds flying through some buildings or something like that, I think.
Yeah, I forget how he worded it, but yeah, he's... Yeah. Yeah, I think there's still some of his – people are still waiting for some of his predictions to come to fruition to this day. But yeah.
Which is nuts because his book, when people read it, they're probably – when you say waiting, that means they're already trying to manifest it.
True. Oh, yeah.
If it's not something good, don't manifest that.
Yeah.
Stop reading. Manifest the opposite.
Yes. So – obviously, psychics have been around for a really long time, and people still find them fascinating. And in modern times, psychics are often seen in movies and TV shows, and maybe not depicted very accurately.
No.
But they do have special abilities that let them sense things that others might not be able to. And this makes them really intriguing to a lot of people who are curious about the paranormal.
Yeah. Might be why they come see people like us.
Yes.
So that brings us to mediums. And mediumship involves, which we've talked about many times on here.
Yeah, because we are all mediums.
Because that's what we do. Yeah. Involves communication with the spirit world, where individuals known as mediums, such as us, act as intermediaries between the living and the spiritual realm.
Yeah, in the 19th century spiritualist movement, witnessed a surge of interest in spiritualism, a movement centered around the belief in communicating with spirits. Mediumships became a focal point of spiritualist practices. This movement gained popularity as individuals sought reassurance and connection with departed loved ones after societal upheavals, including the American Civil War.
Yes.
I never know that.
Yeah, that's when they believe, that's when spiritualism really exploded. That's kind of the birth of spiritualism is the 19th century. Mm-hmm. But that's not the birth of this ability to communicate with the spiritual, right? Yeah. So some of the most well-known mediums from this time were the Fox sisters, particularly Margaret and Kate Fox, and they played pivotal roles in the spiritualist movement. In 1848, they claimed to have encountered spirit manifestations in their Hydesville, New York home, and the sisters developed a communication system with the alleged spirit, Mr. Splitfoot, through a series of knocks. And this event marked the beginning of their careers as mediums. The Fox sisters conducted seances, gatherings where participants attempted to communicate with spirits. Their popularity grew and they became influential figures in the spiritualist community.
So why was he Mr. Splitfoot?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's an interesting name. Okay.
I know. I've been in my Amazon cart is a couple of books about the Fox sisters because there's actually three, but it's mainly two that they talk about, which is that three sisters. But, you know, there's a lot of controversy over them, if they were real or not.
Yeah, there was.
Just like all famous.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
It's so hard with our people field like of us, work. With our field, because, you know, you could make 99 predictions come right. And you make one wrong one, and they're like, oh, you're fake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And nobody's perfect. Mm-hmm. We're human, and like we said before, sometimes it can be like telephone. Usually not. But the point is just because one thing doesn't come true, but all the other things does, just like when you are a good hitter in baseball, right? Mm-hmm. You could be batting 600 and you get struck out. Does that all of a sudden make you a terrible hitter because one time you struck out, but the rest of the time you get hits?
Some people would say yes.
Yeah.
The same people that would say if a medium gets one thing wrong out of 100. Mm-hmm.
But I think that's just how, and this is something that I think everybody concentrating more on positivity will help. It's as a society, that's how we are. Yeah. We're very quick to tear somebody down for one mistake.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like when you look at reviews. You rarely see people leave positive reviews.
They don't. That is something I learned in a facility management class of all classes in college. And they were saying, you know, when you get a review, you're more likely to get the negative review than a positive review because people who enjoyed it, they're kind of just happier in general. They're just going to go about their day.
And
keep doing it. But people who are you're just never going to make them happy. They're always going to – they're the ones that are more outspoken and are just angry about stuff, and that's what you're going to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and even the people – not necessarily angry people, but a lot of people won't go out of their way to say something positive.
Right.
Yeah, about,
that's true.
It's just – that's how our culture is, I think. I think everyone is more quick. And I agree. I think this is something that's shifting, and I'm hopeful that this is something that's changing.
I think it is.
I think a lot of people – we're just taught to be, let's find something to be mad about somebody about or create something
because it makes they themselves don't feel empowered. They might feel small. Mm-hmm. And so cutting someone else down temporarily makes you feel a little better.
Right.
So if we can, you know, build people up from the beginning, then that might not happen as often.
Yeah. And I think maybe sometimes people project anger that they hold for something else onto strangers because it's easier to be angry at a stranger than it is at someone you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. You can't express yourself to the one person you need to.
Right.
So you're going to express yourself, overexpress to everybody else.
Yeah. Right. So I think it's just a matter of if we as a culture, as a society, as a world, learn to take care of ourselves and nurture ourselves and find positivity in our own life, we will share that with everybody else around us. Mm-hmm. Lead by example. That's what I always hear. Lead by example.
Yes.
Lead by example.
Very true. Right? Because it's almost like And I've seen, I'm sure you've seen visuals like this in readings where actually it was a little different, but it was talking about a cold heart and how it can seem frozen and sharp because of the ice. But what it takes to thaw a cold heart is like warm hands and love would melt it. But then what they showed me was as that heart was melting in the warm water would then go melt ice of others. So it's kind of a weird metaphor, but they're saying like if you can warm somebody's heart, it melts and that melting will then warm someone else's heart. It'll kind of spread like the water would spread. And so, you know, you get what they're saying.
I just keep seeing Frozen.
That's what, well, and
Elsa and Anna.
And you know what? There was something with sisters, and I didn't even put that together till like later. I was like, oh, there's a reason they gave me the Frozen kind of reference because it had to do with, you know, a little bit with her and her sister.
Yeah, because it's that end scene in the first one where Anna is frozen. Now, if you haven't seen it by now, sorry.
We really don't think it should be a spoiler.
It's kind of your fault now at this point. But yeah, Anna's frozen and Elsa, who's learned to kind of like shut off her emotions. She was actually told to block off her emotions since the time she was a child. So she didn't, it didn't affect her abilities, has to then become in touch with her emotion to save her sister.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, and she had the metaphoric frozen heart too, you know. So, and her sister literally had a frozen heart. During the 19th century, the spiritualist movement emphasized mediumship, the practice of communicating with spirits. The Fox sisters, with their claims of spiritual communication and the development of seance rituals, became prominent figures within this movement, contributing to the widespread interest in mediumship during this period.
In today's world, mediums are served as means of communication between different realms, providing people with chances to connect with their loved ones who have passed away, as well as other spiritual beings. Their methods vary from classic seance to modern online platforms, indicating that people still have an unbroken interest in bridging the gap between the living and the dead.
Yeah. People do still hold seances. That's not something that I practice, but it's more of that online, like, well, there's online group readings, there's, you know, in-person group readings, there's the big, large events where you go into a giant amphitheater and there's one medium that gives readings. So, yeah, there's lots of different ways. And, of course, one-on-one stuff.
Yeah.
It's mediumship has been a big focus since the spiritualist movement. But again, this has been going on forever.
For a long time. Yes.
Throughout history,
yes.
There has been the practice of communing with the dead or the spiritual realm or these higher entities and energies and deities and that sort of thing. It just was not labeled the same.
Yeah, because so, really the seers.
Right. They all essentially did the same thing. It's just labeled differently and described differently because the times were different.
Yeah.
But throughout this, all of this, the mystical figures like prophets, seers, oracles, psychics, and mediums have had a great influence on art, literature, and religion. Archetypal impact has shaped our cultural narratives and even our imagination.
Belief in mystical figures continue to impact popular culture through religion, entertainment, and social norms.
People have always been curious about supernatural and paranormal things. Mystical figures add to this curiosity, making us wonder and want to learn more about them. This applies to both cultural and individual contexts.
Yeah, I mean, look at it. Look at all the paranormal movies.
Yeah.
True. And look shows. At them
all the ghost hunting shows. Yeah.
This is a better time in history to be a medium. I think it's a little more accepted, I think, than it used to be. I mean, I think a long time ago, it was more accepted. Then there was a big chunk of time where it was not.
Yeah. I mean, and even now, I mean, in the past 10 years, it's become more accepted because of popular shows like Long Island Medium and John Edwards' show from back in the day and all that kind of stuff. But I think it's important to also note that it still is not accepted in a lot of cultures and in a lot of areas and by a lot of people.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Yeah. Everyone is allowed to believe what they want to believe respectfully.
Yes.
So today we have explored the profound history and the cultural impact of all the type of psychic people throughout history, prophets, yep, seers, diviners, oracles, psychics, and mediums. As we wrap things up, we want to invite you to explore literature, engage in discussions, and share your thoughts about how these different figures throughout time resonate with you and your understanding of the mystical. Because the journey into the unknown is an ongoing journey, and your perspectives contribute to exploring the existence of profound and enigmatic aspects.
Yes. And please be open-minded when you go through this rabbit hole and exploring the history I would just talk about.
If you missed our last episode, listen to it because it was amazing. It was all about mediums, morality, and the ethics of spiritual communication. Stay tuned because our next episode will drop in a week, and it's all about scientific research on psychics and mediums. And I am excited about that.
This is Kristen's wheelhouse right here.
You know, I love science mixed with spirituality, so it's good stuff.
We are so glad you joined us here at the Spiritual Rabbit Hole. Remember, your time with us doesn't have to end here.
Keep exploring at solonavoyage.com for more spiritual resources and services. And remember to subscribe
so you can take advantage of everything that we offer. Follow us on Instagram at solonavoyage. And thank you for being part of our spiritual community. Love ya.
Peace out.
Bye for now.